Sportscast, September 18th, 2019. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all our channels, YouTube, Periscope, and iTunes. And if you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. And visit us on thesportscast.net. This past weekend, Alabama defeated the South Carolina Gamecocks 47-23. Tua Tagovailoa threw for a career-best 444 yards, the third most in history for number two Alabama, and tied his personal best with five touchdowns passes and his victory against the Gamecocks this past Saturday. And joining us today is Justin Riley, our SEC commentator. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Hey, glad to be back for another week, man. Excited about week four in the college football season.
Pretty exciting. Things are happening. The games are getting tougher. Of course, you know, people are still talking about how Alabama's schedule is still easy. But the Gamecocks did score 23 points.
It's funny how everybody is talking about how easy Alabama's schedule is, but has anybody peeked over to the east and looked at Georgia's schedule?
They played Arkansas State.
They played Arkansas State. They played West Texas Library College, and they played Vanderbilt. But no one wants to say anything about that. But, so, I mean, right now, we're living in the age where everybody's kind of tired of Alabama. So wherever they can, you know, get their jabs in, they're going to do it. You know, and it's just that's a testament of just how great this program's doing.
Of course, the Gamecocks are in the SEC. How do you think Alabama did? How do you think Alabama did against the Gamecocks?
Well, first of all, I think that South Carolina is a lot better than what their record indicates, and I definitely feel like they're a lot better than what the score indicated. Ryan Helinski is a heck of a quarterback. He passed for well over 300 yards. He just he never quit during that game. And quite often he made the defense look silly. And much to my disappointment, he was able to do that. South Carolina, well, a lot of people probably would say that maybe I'm reading too much into things or being a pessimist, but I really didn't feel like South Carolina was really out of that game until, you know, late in the second half. And really what was a turning point that kind of sealed it for them was when Anthony Jennings forced a fumble from Ryan Helinski. It allowed Alabama to score yet again and really just kind of deflate the will or the ego of South Carolina. And South Carolina really wasn't able to get back into it. But if you look at it from a tangible standpoint, I saw a lot of negatives, to be honest with you. On the defense, I was not pleased at all. One may argue, you know, give them a little break because, you know, you're starting four freshmen there. Yeah, I get you're going to have some growing pains. I'd mentioned that some, you know, podcasts previously. And, you know, it's one thing to be out of position, which, you know, tends to happen when you've got young players, and they did. But the biggest complaint I had was, you know, missed assignments, missed tackles. It got quite pathetic at certain points. Alabama was out physical up front, and they just were getting mowed over, you know, by the South Carolina offensive line, and their running backs were able to bust long ones. You know, we allowed a 100-yard rusher, which isn't really typical of an Alabama defense. So it was kind of disturbing. It just kind of felt like they were lost at times. And I don't know if it was because they were gassed or they just – I don't know. But it just was really frustrating watching them just miss tackle after tackle, you know, and there were opportunities when, you know, we would shoot ourselves in the foot that kind of took us out of good situations. I give Will Muschamp credit, man. He brought everything he possibly could to win this game. You know, he tried the fake field goal. If it wasn't for a holding penalty, they would have scored a touchdown on that. You know, he was trying onside kicks. So yeah, he came with it, man. He had his guys prepared. The majority of our tackles came from the defensive backs. Why? Because nobody up front was doing anything. Xavier McKinney, though, he was one of the highlights of the defense. He had 9 tackles, 1 tackle for loss, 1 interception. And he's a guy that really has become, I guess, the quarterback of that defense, the veteran, the guy that you can kind of lean on to lead everyone. Anthony Jennings was great, like I mentioned earlier. He forced that critical fumble that really turned everything against the Gamecocks. He had 6 tackles and a sack, 2 tackles for a loss, and that forced fumble. That's on the defensive side of the ball. Another thing I noticed up front, we lost, of course I noticed it because it's a big deal, LeBryan Ray. He injured his foot, and his return is questionable. He's out indefinitely. So now, you know, it's next man up, which is, get this, another freshman. Justin Aboybe will more than likely be stepping up, or quite possibly Christian Barmore could be filling that role. And Barmore was really good, a very physical player. Unfortunately, he was ejected from the game due to a helmet-to-helmet, which went helmet-to-helmet at all. If you watch the replay, his head was up. But even though he got tossed, he showed some promise, and we really need that strong, powerful guy up front. So, looking forward to seeing what this young man can possibly do. On the offensive side of the ball, the offensive line still was struggling. We have yet to establish the run, which is really disturbing to me at this point in the season. You know, one might argue that Alabama really isn't opening up their playbook right now. And I tend to agree because I think with the offensive line really as unstable as it is right now, they're trying to keep things as simple as possible until they can really get things solidified and get these guys to really mature and grow. However, the bright spot, of course, was Landon Dickerson. He seems to be the guy on the offensive line who's getting better week after week. Matter of fact, he was named the SEC Offensive Lineman of the Week. He didn't allow a hurry, a pressure, or a sack. So that's definitely a plus going forward. Again, Tua Tagovailoa, like you said, had to be the one that to lead the way. 28 36, 444 yards, 5 touchdowns. Just an incredible career day. Najee Harris actually was very impressive catching the ball. That was actually one of his criticisms coming into the season by NFL scouts was that, you know, he don't really catch the ball well out of the backfield, but he greatly proved everybody wrong. Matter of fact, on one of those passes he caught, 4th and 3, he tossed a South Carolina wide receiver to the sideline, hurdled some more, drug another guy with him to an eventual score in the end zone. It's quite possibly the play of the year thus far. If you haven't seen it, man, you need to go back and see it. 5 catches, 87 yards, 2 touchdowns. Devonta Smith and Henry Ruggs were carrying the weight of the receivers this game. Smith had 8 receptions for 136 yards, 2 touchdowns, where Ruggs had 6 receptions for 122 yards and a touchdown. And surprisingly, Jerry Jeudy and Jalen Waddle were kept in check. They were relatively quiet the entire game. Jerry ended up getting some decent stats, but it really wasn't until the later part of the game. He had over 60-something yards receiving, but he was pretty much neutralized from the majority of the game. Really testament to the South Carolina secondary. But overall, yeah, everything's looking good as far as the passing game. My biggest concern is offensively, we need to be more balanced. We've got to get that running game established. And then defensively, man, tackle, tackle, tackle. I'm shocked about what we gave up. Like I said, the score didn't indicate it, but if you watch the film, there's a noticeable problem. If they're not corrected, when we head to play the Texas A&Ms and the LSUs and so forth and so on, we're going to have a problem. But that was my main takeaways from this previous game.
Yeah, when I was watching South Carolina, they did have some chances. They did have a fake field goal, but I think it was called off, right?
It was. They executed pretty nice. Alabama was out of position. But fortunately for them, one of their linemen was holding Shane Lee on the play, so it was called back.
It would have been a great couple points for them, but of course, it was held back for holding. Tagovailoa had touchdown throws of 24 yards to Najee Harris and 81 yards to Henry Ruggs III in the opening quarter. When the Gamecocks closed to 17-10, Tagovailoa hit Harris, who finished a nifty run in which he broke through one tackler, leaped over another, and dragged a third over the goal line with him. Tagovailoa finished 28 of 36 passing. He surpassed his previous best of 387 yards head against Texas A&M last season. Tagovailoa matched his career high of 5 touchdowns on an 11-yard toss to Devontae Smith in the final quarter. Nick Saban improved to 12-1 at Alabama in SEC openers and wiped away some bad memories of his previous visit to Williams-Brice Stadium 9 years ago. The Crimson Tide finished with 76 yards rushing against 495 yards passing. So Tagovailoa had a good day.
Yeah, he had an excellent day. He looks like he is already in mid-season form to me. He has had a quick, excellent release, getting the ball quickly to the receivers. And he kind of has to, because right now, like I said, the offensive line is just trying to figure things out. And they're kind of letting some folks through. So he's having to get that ball out a lot quicker. Thankfully, he's been right on target. I mean, you know, throwing these underneath routes and these slants to Judy, Ruggs, and Smith. It's paid huge dividends because once they catch them, as we've clearly seen, it makes it a nightmare to secondaries, and they can't catch them. So it's worked out pretty well. But Tagovailoa has been doing some great things. One thing that I really have liked here recently is if the big play isn't there, he finds the play that is, even if it's just, you know, like a 5-yard out or, you know, a couple yards to the sideline. He's getting the ball out. He's not making the bad decisions. He's not forcing things, you know, and not putting Alabama in a bad position. So I like that growth from him. But, yeah, he's on fire. And, you know, he's already in talks of the Heisman. So he's on pace to do some great things this year.
He definitely is having a strong start of the season. My takeaway is the Crimson Tide played a game, sure to please Saban. Good enough to win by double digits, but with enough mistakes on defense, like you said, for him to drill into players before next week. Alabama allowed a 300-yard passer and a 100-yard rusher, both benchmark Saban will likely address going forward. What do you think about my takeaway?
Man, you're absolutely right. I mean, these are areas of concern. I mean, if you look at Alabama teams historically, you know, they don't give up 100-yard rushers. They just don't let them get much at all on the ground. That's been one of their calling cards, their strong suits. You know, rushers do not have career days. They have career nightmares against Alabama. This year, though, so far, that has not been the case. You know, it's been some easy treading here lately, especially with South Carolina. And the defense just has really given up way too much. I mean, they give up a total of 459 total yards. That's just not typical of Alabama. Yeah, they did against Clemson, but that's Clemson. You know, we're talking about South Carolina here, and no slight on the Gamecocks at all. It's just two different worlds. And it's just the intangibles thing. It's the things that we learned when we were playing middle school ball. You know, wrap up. You know, tackle. You know, stay on your assignment. Know your assignment. Be in position. And that's where the struggles are. And that's something that's got to be corrected. And that we only have a few more games to do that. You know, we've got Southern Miss this weekend. We got Ole Miss next weekend. And then we go on break before we go to Kyle Field to play Texas A&M, and that's a dangerous place to play. And if you can't tackle, Kellen Mond and his receivers are going to make things pretty miserable for you. So we got to figure some things out.
Yeah, things are building up quickly. The Citadel's era is coming to a close. You do have WCU at the end. But let's preview Alabama and Southern Mississippi. They will meet for the 43rd time in series history this weekend. The Crimson Tide owns the all-time advantage, 34-6-2, with 34 wins, 6 ties, and 2 losses. And won the most recent meeting between the two, 52-12 in Tuscaloosa in 2014. This year's game will also be played at Brian Denny Stadium. Justin, what do we expect for Southern Mississippi, a team from Conference USA?
Yeah, well, Alabama is opening up as a almost 40-point favorite. I'm sure they'll hit the 40-point favorite mark.
I've heard 50 already.
Well, there you go. Well, historically, Southern Miss and Alabama used to be a pretty good game to watch. It was kind of an unofficial rivalry. And Southern Miss used to come in year after year and just give Alabama fits. I actually was there back in 2000 when they came to Legion Field. We used to play games at Legion Field and embarrassed us 21-0. That was a pretty hard pill for me to swallow, being a sophomore at the University of Alabama. But things have changed a lot since then. The series actually was put on hold for quite some time, and here recently it's been brought back. I was at the game in 2014 when Amari Cooper went off and torched the Eagles. But yeah, they're Conference USA. They're a pretty decent team. A couple things about them, back when we originally were playing, their strength was running the ball. Not so anymore. Their strength is in the air, and they got some very talented wide receivers. Quez Watkins is probably one of the fastest guys in the nation. Against Troy, if you didn't catch that game, pretty amazing game. He had 7 catches for 209 yards and 2 touchdowns. And then they also had Jalen Adams. He's one of the most dangerous kick returners in the nation. Matter of fact, he leads the nation in kickoff returns for touchdowns with 2. And he's also the only player in the nation currently to have returned a kickoff returned a kickoff and a punt return for a touchdown. Little side note, he's actually from Alabama, played his high school ball at Minor High School. So it's kind of a homecoming of sorts for him. With his previous game against Troy, he had 18 catches for 257 yards. That is a big deal. Their other wide receiver, Jordan Mitchell, has 16 catches for 295 yards and 2 touchdowns as well. So the Eagles can do it through the air. So good quarterback, decent quarterback. Jack Abraham has thrown for 990 yards, has 5 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. But he's got a decent quarterback rating of 86.5. So the good thing for Alabama, we're seemingly giving up the run here as of late. That's actually one of Southern Miss's weaknesses. So we're going to have to shut them down through the air. Definitely have to do a lot better job than we did here against South Carolina. Now, as far as on the defense, they're very strong up front. You know, they got preseason All-Conference USA defensive linemen, Jacquez Turner and DeMario Smith. They also have a couple of grad transfers, one from Penn State, that's Torrance Brown, and one from Alcorn State, Terry Winnington, adding depth to that defensive line. Decent linebackers, which actually are more than decent. You know, they've been recognized as probably some of the top linebackers in Conference USA. So got Hayes Maple, Swayze Bowman, and Tyree Evans. They are actually up front. Yeah, like I said, they're pretty good in the secondary. That's where they tend to struggle. So that if that's the case, that's going to play very well into Alabama's hands, because that is the strength of Alabama. And, you know, like I say, week after week, it's not just one receiver, it's not just 2 receivers, 3, but 4 wide receivers that got to be held accountable. And if you have struggles in the secondary, I'm sorry, but it's going to be hard.
The Golden Eagles have posted a 2-1 record to begin their season. Like Justin said, they've defeated Troy University by a score of 47-42 on the road. It was a very exciting match. The Golden Eagles won its first game of the season against Alcorn State, 38-10, but lost its week two game to Mississippi State of the SEC West by a score of 35-18. Of course, the Golden Eagles will be facing Almighty Alabama. What, obviously, we did mention the defense needs improvement, but in the offense, what would you like to see in this game?
Well, two of the biggest things, and I'm probably sounding like a broken record here. One, I need to see more continuity with the offensive line. I need to start to see more of a finished slash polished product. I need to see them dominating. We have got to establish the running game. Like I said, we've got to become balanced because there's going to come a time where, you know, we go up against some strong secondaries, LSU, for example, and they may be able to neutralize the passing game and also may be able to get to Tua. So we're going to have to run the ball as well, you know, to try to keep these defenses honest. Right now we're getting away with it, being just kind of a air raid offense, I guess you could say. But like I said, there's going to come a time where we can't do that. In the SEC, you cannot be one-dimensional. So I need to see these running backs get established. I need to see a 100-yard rusher. You know, I saw some great things from Najee Harris finally this previous game. But I don't want just one highlight. You know, I want to see multiple highlights from Najee. You know, I want to see him to use that physicality, that strong, big frame to his advantage. You know, I need to see him take over. I need to see explosion and fire in his step. I'm ready to see Brian Robinson Jr. do something. You know, he was one of the guys I actually thought, you know, coming into the season may outshine Najee as well as the other backs. But he hadn't really done anything either. But, you know, a lot of that has to do with the fact that the offensive line really hadn't put anything together yet. So my biggest thing is offensively, offensive line growth, and establish a running game.
Of course, as well, we've mentioned before, the defense, see more tackles. Don't be afraid of injuries. You know, definitely play at your best, but also stay healthy. You got to have that balance. Alabama's, obviously, after Southern Mississippi, they have Mississippi, Ole Miss, and then Texas A&M, where things are going to get a little bit tougher for Alabama, and they will test how great they are. They're number two, still in the AP poll. Let's look at the SEC. Right now, the past scores this past weekend, Arkansas State, the Bulldogs defeated Arkansas State 55-0, which we mentioned earlier in the show. A big game this past weekend was Kansas State, a Big 12 school, defeated Mississippi State 31-24. What were your thoughts about that game?
Well, much respect to Kansas State, man. They're very tough team, and they're very physical, very solid, really good defensive play, well, which is something you typically don't see from Big 12 defenses. So it was really impressive to see what they were put together. You know, solid coaching, man. I believe that their head coach was a former coach from North Dakota State that you know was responsible for winning so many titles. But Mississippi State actually had the opportunity to actually put this game away, and they didn't. Well, actually, both teams were doing dumb things that were costly, but Mississippi State did more costly things, and it actually ultimately caused Kansas State to come out victorious. Biggest thing was for Mississippi State was giving up that 100-yard kickoff return for a touchdown. The Bulldogs never really could quite get back into it after that. Really surprised about how Mississippi State's defense is playing this year so far. I kind of expected a lot more from them, especially with Leo Lewis and Errol Thompson and Gay playing. But they just really hadn't materialized to much. Colin Hill, running back for State, is still doing very well. Mississippi State really needs to figure out what's going on at their quarterback situation. You know, Stevens came in for a while, and it looked like he had recovered from whatever injury he suffered while playing against Southern Miss, only to be taken out again, and we didn't see him again, and we saw the freshman walk in, and he looked pretty decent. He showed some promise, but looked very young. Matter of fact, he actually on a 4th and 16 was responsible for one of the most viral plays of the day, where he took off for a run, tried to hurdle a player, and while he was in the air, got hit, spun around like a helicopter, and landed pretty close to the first down. Matter of fact, I think his hand with the football landed at the first down marker. They didn't give it to him, but, you know, it was definitely a highlight of the day. But Mississippi State had their chances, and they didn't capitalize. And Kansas State was the more complete team, and they came away the victory.
Other scores in the SEC: Tennessee defeated Chattanooga 45-0. Another close game. Ole Miss pull out the win 40-29 to Southeast Louisiana. And Southeast Louisiana is from the Southland Conference. What does that tell you about Ole Miss?
Ole Miss is a team in transition right now. You know, they got a new offensive coordinator, Rich Rodriguez. They also have a new defensive coordinator. They're trying to figure things out there. They've got a very young offensive line. They've got a brand new young quarterback. They're just a team, man, that is trying to grow, and it's just really hard when you got a lot of guys with inexperience, you know, and you know they're trying to put something together. So they're just really suffering a lot of growing pains right now. They've got really good talent. They just haven't put it together quite yet. I mean, they'll figure out something, but it's kind of disturbing to see them struggle against Southeast Louisiana. But you know, like I said, they've got good players. It's just a matter of when, you know, that light is going to come on and they start clicking.
Ole Miss will be playing Alabama on September 28th at Bryant-Denny Stadium. So maybe there's some relief on Justin's end, but every game is a challenge. Other scores in the SEC: Arkansas defeated Colorado State 55-34. Auburn blew out Kent State 55-16. Florida, back and forth. Florida defeated Kentucky 29-21. At first, we thought Kentucky was able to pull this off.
Yeah, and it really looked like they were going to. You know, playing in a revenge game, and this is what that was. It's always hard for the team that got upset previously to come back and get that victory. And I tell you what, Kentucky just gave them all they wanted. And they're still a pretty good team. I think they're still going to be a pretty good team in the East. I think they'll win probably eight, nine games, at worst seven. But they're not the Kentucky of old. Felipe Franks, unfortunately, for Florida, or maybe fortunately for Florida, was hurt. And Kyle Trask had to come in, and he ended up being the hero of the game. And I actually prefer Trask over Franks. I've seen a little bit more from Trask in previous games from, you know, last season, actually, that really showed me this kid probably has a little bit more of an upside than Franks. But because I'm not seeing the development from Franks that I would like, or really anybody would like. I'm sure Gator Nation can echo the same. The Gators are still really good on defense, so that is working well to their favor. And if they just can put together something offensively, they should be a pretty formidable team in the East. But a good game, man. I mean, you know.
Yeah, good job for Kentucky. They're kind of similar to Duke, you know, basketball school right now, but at the same time, the football program is somewhere. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they're going to, stay
relevant.
Somewhat relevant. At least in the SEC, maybe not nationally, but
see those bottom teams that Tyler criticizes in the SEC maybe have a little bit more of a standout power.
Well, they're doing that right now, and I think they may have staying power. So, I mean, we got a lot of time before I can actually make that claim true, but for now, I'm going to claim it. I think Kentucky's going to be a pretty decent team this year in the East.
Texas A&M defeated 62 the three against Lamar. LSU defeated Northwestern State 65-14, and Missouri pummeled Southeast Missouri State 50-0. That's an in-state rival. Looking at the Big 12, Oklahoma State defeated UCLA 48-14. Jalen Hurts had 289 yards. So far in three games, Hurts is not upsetting people.
To say the least. Yeah, he had 289 yards passing, several touchdowns, but then also, too, on the ground. You know, another incredible day. Well over 100 yards rushing. He is actually looking like he is the offense. But, I mean, just an incredible story here unfolding for him. I think he's on pace to having an incredible final chapter in his college journey, and just the sky's the limit right now. But yeah, I mean he definitely, I think, is the front runner of the Heisman Trophy right now. Say what you will. I mean, some may disagree with me, but I really haven't seen anyone else who has been as impressive, other than probably Tua Tagovailoa, of course. But Hurts is definitely showing the nation that he is the man right now.
Is he a top three quarterback, top five? Where would you put him in your rankings of quarterbacks in college football?
In college football right now, I mean, he's definitely top five just based on his performance right now. I think you really can't argue that fact just based on what he's able to do.
What has Lincoln Riley able to work with that Nick Saban couldn't? Like, why Lincoln Riley's been successful with him versus Nick Saban?
Well, Lincoln Riley is probably the best in the business at offense, and especially quarterback development. And he's been able to just to really invest in Jalen and really work with him. And whereas at Alabama, I feel like he really didn't have that. There was a lot of turnover and also turmoil when it came to offensive coordinators and, you know, quarterback coaches. And, you know, plus in the SEC, you really aren't able to do some of the things that Jalen's able to do in the Big 12. So that's another reason why, you know, we're starting to see bigger numbers stat-wise. It's because, you know, I'm not trying to slight him at all. You know, the defenses aren't as strong as they are in the SEC. But I feel like Lincoln Riley has been able to take his skill set and just really cause it to go to that next level. Whereas, like I said, you know, Nick Saban and his crew really weren't able to do that. And, of course, when Jalen was around, we really hadn't started the aerial offense. You know, we were still pretty run heavy. And Saban at that time was come hell or high water, have a strong running game, run the ball. So he didn't really look to Jalen for, you know, a passing attack. And of course, that dynamic changed when, you know, once Tua Tagovailoa came into the picture. So, but I think the biggest thing is he has coaches that are able to truly invest more in him, and especially ones that is their MO. So I think that, you know, those things are some of the biggest reasons why he's been able to flourish more under Lincoln Riley.
I have a correction. It's not Oklahoma State, Oklahoma University. And they'll be facing Texas Tech this they have a bye week this weekend. Then have Texas Tech, then Kansas, then Texas, October 12th. That's going to be a big, big matchup. Looking forward to that game, of course. Any big rivalry game or anything that's big, we're always paying attention to it. NFL news, Daniel Jones, starting quarterback for the Giants. Justin, of course, I saw this coming. I didn't know that it was going to be this early, but do you think it's better now than later?
Well, I think we all eventually saw it at some point, but, you know, not after, you know, week two. I'm kind of surprised. I think that they are pushing the panic button way too early, and I think they're doing it wrong. I think that he's getting hosed. I honestly believe Daniel Jones needs more time to develop. You know, yeah, he was able to do some good things in the preseason, but that's preseason. You know, you're not going against the number ones. So it's a completely different story once you get to regular season. But it's like the Giants were trying to pin all their problems on Eli Manning and trying to make the fan base, the football world, believe that by benching him. He's not – okay, have his abilities declined? Yeah, they have. He hasn't been as on point as, you know, he was in the past. I agree with that. But the thing is, you know, outside of Saquon Barkley, what offensive weapon do they have?
Not many after Saquon, to be honest. And they had the tight end, you know, Ingram, but he's only a tight end.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, he's one guy. And they have a barely serviceable offensive line. The wide receiver core, it's like they gathered them from the cast of The Replacements. And their defense is craptacular. So it's not just Eli Manning. I mean, there's a lot that's wrong there. But they had to have the scapegoat. And it turns out it's going to be Eli, which I – considering what that man has done for that organization, I think he deserves better.
Two Super Bowls.
Two Super Bowls. I mean, is he going to be one of the greatest of all time? No. Will he be in the Hall of Fame? More likely. But come on now. I just think this is ridiculous.
Do you think he should take the advantage of the situation in Pittsburgh or Jacksonville to get traded to either of those teams?
Well, I think the Pittsburgh situation has already been handled. You know, they just signed Paxton Lynch. And they also promoted Samford's own Devlin Hodges to the number two spot. So they've got quarterbacks. So where would you put him there? I mean, there is need for him in other places. So it kind of depends on what Eli wants to do. And, you know, based on, you know, some interviews that he's given, you know, he hasn't spoken ill of the Giants organization. Matter of fact, everything he said is leading us to, you know, believe he's a team player and he's there to support the organization and prepare the team the best they can, you know, to be successful, whether that's being a starter or whether it's being a backup. But yeah, I mean, I honestly think that he needs to get out of there and go to a better situation.
He does know Tom Coughlin, and he is working in Jacksonville, so we'll see if anything happens. No rumor on the Twitterverse, but the deadline, like the trade deadline, hasn't happened yet, so we'll see what happens in the next few weeks or days. Anything else before we head into game predictions?
No, man. I think I've gotten everything out I needed to say. Oh, my Ravens are 2-0, by the way.
Looking good. Video game numbers.
Looking amazing.
By Lamar Jackson.
Oh, man, incredible numbers. And I really am impressed with him. And, you know, I know it's only been two games. So
And
I mean,
two weak teams.
You know, well, yeah, but I mean, but I was about to say, man, there's still a lot of season to be played. But from what we've seen, yeah, he's been very good. And it's through the air. He's spreading the ball around. He's using the tight ends, using his wide receiver, especially Marquise Brown, Hollywood Brown, who is exploding onto the scene. Of course, as you see, along with passing, I mean, he's passing at or near 300 yards and then rushing for 150 yards a game. Just, man, amazing. But also, too, it's been very helpful adding Mark Ingram to the bunch. I think he gives them more balance, too. I think they finally have that big running back that they has been absent for a long time from Baltimore. So I really like what I've seen. The defense is looking really good. Marlon Humphrey, I think, is going to have a career year. And, of course, I think Earl Thomas is going to do amazing things as well. But I'm pretty excited. So, you know, 2-0, good stuff.
Yeah, and it's, you know – you got to take advantage of these early easy games, or you know, playing against weaker opponents just to gain your confidence. And I've always seen in sports history, when you play easy teams in the beginning, and then you gradually play against middle tier teams and harder teams, you gain your confidence and you become a better team or a better player, better quarterback. But I'm really looking forward to what Baltimore is up to. Baltimore has been a serious organization. They want to win championships. Their fan base is huge. And they're typically every couple of years, they are championship contenders at some level. Let's end into game predictions. Big weekend, better than last weekend. Let's start off with Michigan versus Wisconsin.
Yeah. Well, to be honest with you, I've seen more out of Wisconsin than I've seen out of Michigan. I don't know what Michigan's doing, but this is the put up or shut up game for them. You know, they drew a lot of preseason praise going in. You know, some folks predicted them to go to the college football playoff, you know, win Big Ten, all that good stuff, possibly even a title appearance. But thus far, they have not been that impressive at all. I mean, struggle wins. Back and forth. I mean, it's not typical of a team that's been on a pedestal to win these accolades they're talking about. So, that being said, I honestly think that Wisconsin is going to remain undefeated, and Jonathan Taylor will have a big game.
Yeah.
So, Wisconsin will win this game.
Yeah, obviously, you know, this is the Big Ten. You are bound to lose a game or two. But if, you know, it's just going to happen. It's hard to stay undefeated in this conference. SEC, you could a little bit more. Let's go Auburn, Texas A&M. SEC matchup, another big match.
Really big match. Both teams have excellent defenses, and it's going to be really, really awesome to watch that. Biggest thing is quarterback. I think the quarterback position for each team is going to determine the outcome of this game. And honestly, I feel like the advantage goes to Kellen Mond. So I'm going to go with Texas A&M in this game. I think he's going to be the difference maker in this, because I really am not feeling Auburn's quarterback right now. He may be something down the road, but I just don't think he has it all together just yet. So Auburn's going to be one dimensional in this game. They do have a good running back in Whitlow, but if you're one-dimensional against a strong defense, it's kind of hard to do. So,
Texas A&M. I don't know sure if that's an upset, but I could definitely see that happening. SEC playing in Texas A&M, but I will not be surprised. We'll see which will also test out what Auburn's really all about. Next big game, I think, is the biggest game of the weekend, Notre Dame at the Georgia Bulldogs.
Man. This is a really good game. I'm glad that, you know, week four we have a pretty exciting game to watch. But let's see. I don't feel like Notre Dame has played anybody near the talent level of what Georgia has right now. And I honestly feel like that Notre Dame is going to have a hard day against Georgia. Georgia's got just way too much, man. And I feel like that Notre Dame may give them a little bit of a tough contest in the first half. The second half, I think Georgia's just going to wear them down. I think DeAndre Swift is going to have a big day. And I say Georgia's going to win this game by at least two scores.
And Jake Fromm wants to wear black uniforms. Don't know if that will help.
Don't do that. Anytime Georgia's done the little blackout stuff, it's not done to their advantage. So please don't do that.
USC, I mean, go ahead.
If they want to do that against, if they should play us again,
sure,
yeah,
why not?
Do it.
He probably will say something about that. Yeah,
you know, like last time we played them in all blacks, you know, we actually embarrassed them at home. So yeah, please, by all means.
By the way,
I'm not gonna be that fan.
Real quick, Jake Fromm, top three quarterback
in college.
Yeah,
I think he's probably top five right now.
Top five. Okay. USC versus Utah. Utah did well in the AP poll, went up to 10th place. Will they beat USC this weekend?
I think that it's going to be a close game, but I feel like Utah is more of a complete team than USC is right now, and I think that defensively they're a lot stronger, So I'm going with the Utes.
All-time rivalry, Florida versus Tennessee.
This used to be a great rivalry, and it really is disappointing to see just, you know, where this rivalry has fallen. You know, it used to, man, this used to be a game that had not only conference title implications, but national title implications, and the winner usually was headed to win the SEC and then also maybe compete for a national title. It's not that way anymore. Florida has gotten a little bit better. Tennessee has just been a dumpster fire, and it's just not the same anymore. Outside of the two fan bases, it really doesn't mean a whole lot on a national scale, but it's still going to be good football. I think that Tennessee is going to come out strong. I think they're going to probably play the best game so far. I think they're going to be a much different team than what we've seen the first three games. I think Garantano is going to do just okay, but honestly, Florida's defense is just going to be way too much, and I think that they're going to have multiple sacks, and I feel that Florida's going to win big.
It's interesting you say that because Tennessee has multiple rivals. Tennessee is also a rivalry to Alabama back in the day as well.
Absolutely. Actually, that's one of the oldest rivalries in college football. Actually, one of the most bitter rivalries, too, believe it or not, even more so than Auburn. But, yeah, that used to be a pretty big deal, too.
Just like Tyler says, where has the recruiting gone? Okay, LSU versus Vanderbilt. This is an SEC matchup. Who you got?
Well, definitely LSU, bud. I mean, they're just way too much. Vandy is Vandy. You know, they're going to play them hard. They're going to give them fits. They have some all SEC performers on their team, but they don't have an LSU squad. So, you know, those wide receivers of LSU are just going to be way too much for Vandy. I think Joe Burrow is going to have another 300-yard passing day. So, yeah, LSU over Vandy, pretty big.
And LSU is in the fourth spot in the AP poll. Miami, Ohio versus Ohio State, state rivalry.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it's going to be a really hard rivalry. Everybody's going to be jacked up for that. Really? I mean, you know, Ben Roethlisberger doesn't play there anymore. You know that.
Oh, okay.
No, Ohio State, big again. You know, that's another thing, man. Everybody's talking about Alabama schedule. Well, look at Ohio State's too. Good Lord.
Hey, that's why I brought it up.
Yes.
The Gamecocks.
Oh, okay, I think you did there.
Well, of course you say Ohio State. There's no way Miami, Ohio is going to win this game based on your statements. The Gamecocks, which that name sounds very familiar to you, versus Mizzou.
Honestly, I feel like South Carolina rebounds, and they're going to win this game. I think that Ryan Helinski is a much, much better player than Kelly Bryant. And like I said, South Carolina is a whole lot better than what their record indicates. So this is their bounce back game. I think they beat Mizzou.
Oklahoma State versus Texas.
Oklahoma State is a pretty good team. Matter of fact, their running back actually leads the nation in rushing. He had a huge game this past week against Tulsa. Very talented team. I think they're going to give Texas a little bit of a problem. I think it'll be very close, but Sam Ellinger and the Longhorns will prevail.
There you go. Texas wins this weekend. And finally, well, not finally, Alabama versus the Golden Eagles of Southern Mississippi. Give us a scoreline. We know who's going to win it, but give us a scoreline. In the 40s, it's going to be in the 50s.
Be honest with you, yeah, Alabama will win this game. The biggest victory will be, one, keep everybody healthy.
Yeah.
Two, show drastic improvement in the offensive line and that defense, and just continue to grow, continue to get better. Alabama will win. I think they'll end up winning 45-17.
45-17, Alabama. And Thursday Night Football, Tennessee versus the Jacksonville Jaguars. AFC South matchup.
It's a pretty interesting game, you know. I've been kind of on the Gardner Minshew train here as of late, man. He's going to become a cultural icon.
Now, a little reference to our audience. Minshew, I don't remember him in college, but what can you say? Was he a good quarterback? Was he the best? Was he mediocre? Like, give us some context.
Context? Yeah, was he a good quarterback? Absolutely. He actually finished fifth in Heisman Trophy voting.
Okay, that says a lot.
I think that he had close to the passing yards, or maybe more than what Haskins did, and that was a crap load. He was a very good quarterback at Washington State. So, shout out to him. He's actually a Mississippi boy. He played here at Brandon High School, my high school's rival, and a little known fact about him. So he's got a little of the home state of mine's backing. But, yeah, he's doing pretty well. He's actually put Jacksonville in position to win the last two games, and he's doing really good things. So I like him. That mustache, man, that's iconic. But as much as I like him, I got to go with the Tennessee Titans. They bounced back after a game they really shouldn't have lost here against the Colts. And I believe that King Henry and company with A.J. Brown are going to have a pretty big game, and they will defeat the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Tennessee, real quick, Mason Rudolph, what do you know about him? Can he help the Steelers out this season?
He's a very good quarterback. He was in college, a solid guy at Oklahoma State. Has, you know, a good upside. He just doesn't have the experience. The biggest thing is, can his supporting cast help him and allow him, you know, to excel and, you know, and get that offense to where the Steeler fans would like to have them go. But I think he's a good guy, a good quarterback. I think he may be their future, but it just all kind of depends on how things play out with the supporting cast.
You know, it's funny, now that I'm thinking, whoever rookie quarterback doesn't do well, I kind of put him in like the Josh Rosen can. You know, but obviously Rosen, you know, still has time to improve. But, you know, Rosen, that, you know, who didn't do well, get traded. But hopefully it doesn't happen to Mason Rudolph or the Jacksonville quarterback Minshew. So,
right.
Anyways, random question. It's National Cheeseburger Day. Who makes the best burgers?
Man, here in Mississippi, we have Little Willie's. They've actually made the best hamburger for at least the past 20 years. But as far as from like a national chain, I got to go with Five Guys.
Which Five Guys won the poll today on the Twitter? 60%. Shake Shack was 27. In-N-Out Burger 13. And McDonald's 0.
I can understand that part.
I would have not saw. I mean, I can see Five Guys. Shake Shack is not everywhere. I've been to Shake Shack. There's one nearby where I live. But it's not everywhere. It's not in Mississippi, but it's only in big cities. So, of course, no one is going to vote hardly for Shake Shack. In-N-Out Burger is the same thing, only in the West Coast. And, of course, McDonald's is everywhere, but I guess no one likes McDonald's. Anyways, Justin, what is the best way to reach you to talk to you about Mason Rudolph?
Well, follow me on Twitter, at 121Training. That's number 12, once bet out, training. You can also find me same Instagram handle, but I'm also one of the main contributors or leaders of our Sportscast Twitter account. This at the Sportscast one. That's both. That's also the same handle for Instagram. So find me in those places.
And of course, this weekend a lot of big games. Last weekend, you know, some of you guys thought would have been good games. No, this weekend is great. It's like. Ranked 8th compared last week was like a 4 ranked in like the series of games. We'll see what happens. I'm looking at the Big Ten, of course, the shakeup is going to happen. Auburn facing a tough game against Texas A&M. Georgia, Notre Dame, even though Notre Dame is number 7, Georgia is way, way more superior than they are. And, of course, Florida, Tennessee, another old-time rivalry. And, of course, don't miss Alabama versus the Golden Eagles, Southern Mississippi. They'll be playing on ESPN2 at noon, and I believe Justin Riley will be live tweeting that game. Well,
absolutely. Look for me there, 11 a.m.
Central Time. You can find us on thesportscast.net or on Twitter at thesportscast1. Follow us for the latest and greatest. We have Kyloo Borden tomorrow, Jeff Favre on Friday, talk about NFL and some Steelers, Kansas City Chiefs, you name it. Sports continues. It keeps going. And football is getting a little bit more meaner. Justin, I appreciate you coming on to the Sportscast.
Glad to be here. Roll Tide.